They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Joining me on the Commons today, I have my old friend who hasn't been around for a long time, at least not here, Mr. Jan Bergman. And for those of you who might not know, he's the president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. Jan, you've been stirring things up down there in Florida, haven't you, my friend?
Yes, we're trying to do so since 20 years, and the fight is still not over, and actually it sometimes looks like it's growing by the day, because the problems never stop,
and
there is no real solution in sight.
They just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah. And in all reality, it's partially of the people who are gullible, and their apathy kills their dream of their home. When they complain, it's often too late.
Yeah, and that's what CAI always says. They always blame the homeowners. They're apathetic and they're not doing anything. But wait a minute. They have stacked the odds so high against the owners. They've made sure that associations have unprecedented powers. And they can get away and do all kinds of things. And I think there's a problem
Which is absolutely true. I mean, they have dictatorial power, you know. The legislators supported giving them power with their laws. And here in Florida, these laws are totally lacking enforcement. And you have to be outright rich in order to fight for your rights.
So why are we trying to fix this instead of trying to stop it?
Yeah, but the problem is the owners are not organized. You know, when you go to Tallahassee, you may have 20 homeowners there, but you have 400 service providers there, attorneys and managers and all the other guys whose job it is to fleece the homeowners and the condo owners.
That's the key point. That's their job. The homeowners.
And they are using our money to pay for the campaign funds of the legislators.
Yeah. Yeah. They're buying the legislators. Absolutely. Absolutely.
With our money.
With our money. But we're gullible, as you said. And we continue to allow it. We think, well, if we just get them to say please nicely, then it'll be okay, right?
It's not going to work.
It's not.
And you know, I talked this morning with a lady. They are trying to take the house, her house away. You know,
why?
Claiming wild fines and all kinds of stuff. And in reality, they want her house because her house is directly next to the clubhouse, and they want kind of to add to the amenities.
So why if we're going to nitpick all of this stuff, why don't we do away with their ability to fine people? I mean, that is just one of the most abhorrible powers that they've been given.
And it's outright wrong, because remember, in our constitution it says, you know, only government entities can fine citizens. End of story. An HOA or a condo association is not a government entity. So more or less, fining people violates our U.S. Constitution.
I'm not sure that the Constitution says that. It may say that. But I do know that there's a separation of powers in the Constitution. And the separation just simply and sweetly does not exist in an HOA. The board makes the rules. The board finds you in violation of the rules. The board finds you and then exacts their whatever it is. There's no due process. There's no separation.
They use fining to suppress free speech. You wouldn't believe how often it happens that people speak out at board meetings and say, look, you know, you can't do that. You know, the Florida statutes, blah, 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 blah. And what happens 2 days later, they get violation letters. And they push them through because all that it is, it's a kangaroo court. Even if the legislators put, oh, there has to be a separate committee which approves of the fine and things like that. But don't forget, the committee members are appointed by the board.
Yeah.
They're people. You know, do you honestly believe that they would vote against the board's will? No, because then the board kicks them out. And it makes no sense. And then when you hear the legislators say, oh, we put a safeguard in there because, you know, we demand that such a committee exists. And, you know, how good is it? You have them even, you can't bring any witnesses to the meetings of the committee. You know, how good is all that? It's not good at all. And, you know, in HOAs here in Florida, they say, oh, you know, you can't file a lien unless the fine is more than $1,000.
It takes two minutes to get it up
there. So they fine you because your grass is 2 inches too high and you have weeds growing in the front yard, right? So that makes $2,000. So they can lien and foreclose on your home. That's how stupid the whole system is.
I totally agree. Why are we not fighting fines? I think we need to get rid of fines, period. No fines.
Well, see, this is the weird part. In condos here in Florida, fines can't lead to liens or foreclosure. But in HOAs, they can. We removed it for 1 year, and then our esteemed attorneys, these so-called specialized attorneys from the CAI, they came and put it back in. And the legislator allowed it to be added in again. You know, this is the problem. Because it has nothing to do with democracy anymore, with easy living. No, you have people who put their whole livelihood, their whole retirement funds, in their dream home, living here in Florida, in the warm sun, you know, until they happily ever after die, right? They get kicked out of their homes and they have to move back to wherever they came from up north. Because we have, you know, the Department of Elderly Affairs, right? Which are supposed to take care of problems elderly people in this state have. Guess what they will tell you? Oh, we're dealing with all that, but not with HOAs.
I just don't understand. I think there should be a blanket rule. First of all, I think there should be no HOAs. I mean, the only people who benefit...
Well, the Europeans are much smarter than we are.
I agree with you, Jan, and you're going to talk about that in a minute.
And you know, the real issue is that people have not understood yet, or legislators have not understood yet, that there is a big voting power in these community associations. Don't forget, here in Florida, you have an estimated 4.5 million homes, condos, and mobile homes inside community associations. you know how many voters that really are, because most people who own property are, let's say, in the second half of their lives, because you first need money to buy something, right?
Right.
So you know that the older generation is more inclined to vote than the younger generation, which often screams and hollers, but then doesn't come through. So this is a big part. And here in Florida, the Democrats knows how to use it. They play the game. They filed stupid bills, which they know will never do anything, will not go anywhere to any committee meeting, because they are so stupid from starters that they don't even can be considered serious. But they sound good to many homeowners who don't understand what really is in these bills. So they think, oh, you know, these legislators really try to do something for us and blah, 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 blah. Right? So they vote for them, despite knowing, despite everybody else knowing that these bills are nonsense. You know, we have the problem here now in Florida that Governor Ron DeSantis appointed a former Republican state legislator as the DPPR secretary, meaning he is in charge of the Division of Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes. The problem is that many of the employees in this division are outright Democrats, and they kind of do things to do damage to his reputation on purpose. You know, we always thought that judges and arbitrators should be neutral, right?
Yeah.
What do you think if an arbitrator of the division has on his website, on his Twitter page, stating that Congressman Matt Gaetz, which is one of our Florida legislators here, is utterly human trash? Do you think he's a Republican? No, I don't think so. You know, and the Democrats are using it. They're inviting the DPPR secretary to town hall meetings, where they know that the majority of the people at these town hall meetings is mad at the Division of Condominiums. And then they say, see, this is what the Republicans do to you.
So you're telling me there's a lot of politics involved in Florida.
And a hell of a lot of politics involved.
Yeah, we don't have the DBPR. We don't have any oversight except what we have down in Richmond, and that is run by CAI. So it's not, they've got all their buds in there. It's all the special interests, and they're sitting there, and they're just pulling
all
this stuff.
You know, here you have so-called enforcement. You know, the condo owners here in Florida pay each $4 annually in what's called the Condo Trust Fund, which finances the Division of Condominiums, right?
Right.
The only problem is they're not getting anything for it. There is no real enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, this division sends out form letters. Oh, we didn't find anything wrong with our investigation to your complaint, so we closed the file.
Right, and that's kind of what happens over here. But it's all CAI. They're all sitting there talking to their buddies. They're overseeing their best friends. They're in some cases overseeing, I'm assuming, their partners in the office and in the attorney's office, and it's just such a mess. It is just such a mess. We'll never fix it, Jan. It'll never be fixed.
You know, the system is broken, and I don't think the system can be fixed.
That's what I just said. You can't fix
it.
We cannot fix it. It's a mess. So we waste our time. We sit here. We You work really hard to get some legislation passed, and some other people in some other states. I don't try to get legislation passed. I just try to stop it.
While we're trying in the moment, we are more often trying to help people to understand what's going on and don't fall into the traps which are set. Because make no mistake, the big winners of these association systems are the so-called specialized attorneys.
Right.
Because win or lose, they get paid.
Yes.
They get paid from the money of the homeowners. And the problem we always see is that you have very blue-eyed boards, you know, board members who don't really understand what they're doing. They're just sitting there because they think it's powerful, and you know, I can tell my neighbors how to live and what to do.
I'm a volunteer, I'm a goodie, don't hold me responsible.
That's what they're being told, but they have no clue what's right, what's wrong, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. So here owners are complaining to the board, saying so and so. The board goes to the attorney, and the attorney knows full well that amending the governing documents of the association is not paying the office rent. So what they need is a juicy lawsuit, you know, high-paying lawsuit. So they give them opinions, knowing full well that it's kind of borderline good or bad, you know, and tell the board, oh, you can get away with it. You know, we even had attorneys standing up at board meetings telling owners who complained, hey, shut up. Sit down. You don't have the money to sue us anyway and fight for your rights. So shut up. That's how far it goes here.
We found an attorney opinion who said the opinion was you're on less than concrete foundation. But since homeowners won't avail themselves of their rights, go ahead. And should you be challenged, in other words, if anyone threatens to sue you for being so overly disgusting, you can make a decision based on the economics of the situation. In other words, if the homeowner has a good case and is likely to win, you can back off and just say, oh, we will let you do, we won't do this. We'll just back off and we'll stop doing that. But in other words, if nobody challenges you, just go for it. Do it.
Right. But see, these attorneys hope that the owner will get fed up, get his life savings together, hire an attorney, and file a lawsuit so that they can make big bucks. And you know, in a way, that these attorneys are playing musical chairs. Because here's how it works. Let's say law firm A represents Homeowners Association A, right? Homeowners Association A gets involved in a big lawsuit, but they lose and they fire attorney A, right?
Right.
Okay. Homeowners Association B has the same problem, loses and fires attorney B, right? Guess what? Association A hires now attorney B and Association B hires attorney A. So they don't really lose. They make the money and the same game starts from all over again. That's the way it works.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. It's pretty bad. Jan, nothing you've said so far is unique to Florida. It happens across the board. So all of our listeners have heard this before, they've seen it before, they've lived it before, they've watched it unfold in front of their, you know, in their associations. And as I said earlier, you have always come up with some good legislation, and you've managed to get it passed. Right now, there's a bill in Florida that I really want to talk about, and that's House Bill, where did I do it?
623.
Yes. Let us talk a little bit about...
What?
About that bill.
You remember the old joke we had many years ago? You know, why don't we give our constitution to Iran? They may need it because we have long given up using it.
We're not using it. Yep.
Right. And now one of the state legislators, a representative named Jason Schwartz, filed a bill, which is House Bill 623. And he says that we should, that associations don't have the right to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Or Article 1 of the state constitution is void and unenforceable without further action of the association. Now, you could hear the attorneys screaming bloody murder when that bill was passed. Because, you know, don't forget, they always claim that contract right is higher than any constitution or any bill of rights or whatsoever. Right? Because remember, you know, you dare to speak out and give your opinion at a board meeting or even at a membership meeting of the association, and the next thing you get is a cease and desist letter from the law firm telling you to shut up or we sue you or whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? It costs the association $400 to $600 to $800 to send this letter, which is more or less pre-prepared in the computer of the secretary and cost maybe 5 minutes work to send out. And it doesn't do anything because they know full well that they can't really file a lawsuit. It's just, these letters is just an intimidation tactic. And many people fall for it because, well, you know, send this from an attorney, they will sue you. Oh my God, we don't, can't have that. So we rather shut up. And that's all they want to do with it. So, you know, free speech? Well, not in associations.
You know, we talked the other day or yesterday, whenever, I'm losing my mind here. But we talked about a story that came out of Florida many years ago, and I remember the story. And when I mentioned it to you, you also remember the story. It's not, I mean, you talked a minute ago about homeowners getting involved at board meetings and saying, hey, you know, you really can't do that, and then being threatened with fines and all kinds of other things. But there was this story about a retired community where some of the retirees, the members of the community, would go to breakfast or go to a meeting or whatever they did, and then they would congregate on somebody's front porch and talk.
Yeah.
The board was absolutely incensed, remember? And told them that they could not meet. It was on private property. It was not on common area. It was on somebody's front porch, and they told them they could not meet. They could not get together. They could not talk. I have been made aware of so many instances across the country where associations have tried to prevent members from discussing the politics of the association, and that is probably the most revered form of free speech that there is. You have an absolute right to discuss what's happening to you, but the associations don't want you to do it.
No, because, see, often sitting boards don't want the owners to communicate with each other.
No.
We had just recently a case, you know, condo election, you know, board was up for election,
mm-hmm.
right? They found themselves facing the opposition of five candidates who wanted to replace the five sitting board members, right?
Okay.
Guess what? They have a community room. The sitting board held a candidates' night where the opposing candidates were not allowed to show up, right? So the opposing candidates said, okay, you know, since we couldn't come to this, we would like to have the community room for our own Meet the Candidates night, right? No,
can't do.
No. You know, then you have in HOAs here in Florida, HOAs allow nominating committees, right?
Right.
So here goes the deal. The sitting board appoints husbands, wives, whatever, friends, to the nominating committee. And guess what? The only people, the only candidates this nominating committee finds are appropriate to be candidates are the sitting board members. Everybody else will not be nominated. So they send out ballots only with the names of the sitting board members. And the people who are not really looking into the story, they say, okay, and vote for the five sitting board members because it looks like they're the only candidates. So here in Florida, a sitting board of an HOA can always be reelected, no problem whatsoever, until there is a real big revolution into this place. You know, there are no elections. We send former presidents to monitor elections in other countries. You know, they should send them to monitor elections in HOAs and here in Florida. They would have a lot of things to do.
You know, we're talking about HOAs, but I have rebroadcast a show that I did with Donna Fossum some years ago, and she came up with something that was really unique. But she was talking in terms not so much of the HOA elections, but more in terms of national elections, of local elections, like your county representatives, like your state, representatives who are running for election. And they can go and they can talk to different people. But when you're in a condo or when you're in one of these gated communities, they're not allowed to go in. They're not allowed to, if you live in a city or a town, you can go and knock on a door and say, hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm running for president. I'm running for state senator, whatever it is. And here's my platform and here's what I want. And I want to talk to you. I want to know what, you know, if you have any thoughts, any ideas. Would you put a sign, you know, could I put a sign in your yard? Whatever it is. But a number of people who are in condos or people who are in gated communities are exempt. They are not allowed to meet the people who are campaigning and who will be running for them outside of the HOA, outside of the condominium. So we're dividing up people, Jan, instead of making it with technology the way it is, instead of making it more open, instead of making it more accessible to people, we're closing, we're just shutting things up all over the place.
Yeah, but you know, see, I think elections are a big part of democracy, right?
Absolutely.
So when you turn on TV nowadays, you hear about, you know, election interference from Russia and from Ukraine and from China and yeah. from, don't ask me what, right?
Yeah.
You know that in homeowners and condo owners associations, you know who is really interfering into these elections? Attorneys and management companies.
Yeah.
Because they want the sitting board to stay in power because they will renew their contracts.
Right.
While
you're right.
Opposing board members, the first thing they will do is fire attorney and management company because make no mistake, you know, I help quite a lot of people to recall boards. And you know what is normally the reason why these owners want to recall the boards? Not necessarily the people sitting on the board. No, they want to get rid of the law firm or the management company or both of them, but the board is refusing because these so-called service providers support the board and help them to stay in power. You know, and that is the biggest BS I can think of.
Yeah, no, it is. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely 100% correct.
It's a shame that our legislators create bills after bills after bills. They pass it and they enact it into laws. And guess what? There are no teeth. All these laws have no teeth. And even for a written simple record request, which the law clearly says you have the right within 10 days to get the records you request and blah, 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 blah. They drag out these lawsuits for 2 and 3 years.
Yeah.
In the end, a simple record request lawsuit cost $20,000
more
just to get in the courtroom.
More, yeah. Yeah.
And most people don't have that money and they don't want to spend their savings on a stupid record request lawsuit, so they give up.
Yeah.
So why creating all these laws if you don't create the necessary teeth coming with it?
Jan, how many of these legislators actually understand what they're voting on? I don't think any of them do.
Well, you can't really say that. I have talked over the years with many, many, many legislators. And I'm not just talking Julio Robina. The thing is, they have gotten so many complaints from people that they kind of know what is going on. But don't forget, the big pushing force behind it
is
the developer lobby, which is pretty almighty here in Florida. They have lots of money. When you go to these fundraisers for the campaigns, you see the lobbyists for the bankers, you see the lobbyists for the developers, and you see the lobbyists for the CAI coming into these fundraisers with shopping bags full of cash, or not cash, but checks, right? And you know that legislators think that money buys elections. I'm sorry to say, in this country it often does. Because remember, this is the only country where you can officially, in all public, in front of TV cameras, bribe a legislator by giving him a huge campaign fund check, right?
Yep.
For example, you do that in Germany, you would share a cell with the legislator. Here you can, and that still influences our elections.
You're absolutely correct, but when I said that a lot of them don't understand what's going on, yes, I used to get, there was a legislator, she was very good. When she first took office, she was inundated with calls and complaints, and she had no idea what was going on. So she always gave them my name and phone number. Call Shu, she'll help you. Hey, that was fine. I talked to her, but she had no idea, no way of knowing how to take care of it, how to fix it. There were a couple of legislators who got calls and complaints, but they didn't know how to fix it. But there are hundreds of legislators there. They may be involved in, whatever their specialty is. Everybody's into different things.
But I always laughed. We had first, the father was a state representative, and all he had cared for was the seatbelt laws. And this is a district where you have beaucoup of condos and homeowners associations, right?
Right.
Now, after he retired because of term limits, his daughter took over as a state representative, right?
Okay.
Guess what she cares about.
What's that?
Seatbelt laws.
So she didn't care about HOAs, huh?
But But here is my point. The people vote them in over and over again.
They
you
do.
Know, we had in Broward County the sheriff going to jail, right?
Okay.
Okay, shouldn't that be some red flag? No. They voted the son in as a state legislator.
Hmm.
You know, in my opinion, people are oft their worst enemies.
So much, there's so much partisanship that a lot of people will look for the R and the D, and regardless of what the person's like, they'll vote for that. You know, if they're Democrats, they'll vote for anyone with a D behind their names. If they're Republicans, they'll vote for anyone with an R behind their names. Nobody gets to know the legislators. Nobody gets to know the candidates. Nobody votes for the person. They'll vote for someone because I'm a female, I've got to vote for a female. You're a male, you've got to vote for a male. You know, you've got blue eyes, I've got green eyes. You know, and they're voting for people because name recognition is huge. So if you had the father and the daughter had the same last name, there's name recognition there. Oh, yeah, I've heard of her. So click. But the fact is that people are not talking to the legislators. And part of, I think, Donna Fossum's point was that there's this, you know, we're closing them off. You need to be able to talk to the legislators. You need to be able to talk one-on-one and find out.
Yeah, but Shu, please, you know, you as well of the older generation, you remember the times when you could talk even to your worst political enemy in a decent way.
I'm not suggesting that what
nowadays,
we have today, you can't.
You tell somebody, hey, I'm Republican and I think our president is great. You are a racist, you're a bigot, you are the worst person in the world.
Yeah, no, this is, yeah, but there are still some people, not a whole lot, but there are still some people who are able to communicate. And I treasure those friendships. And I treasure talking to people who have a different point of view because I learn more from them than I do from people who think just like me.
Yeah, well, so do I. But, you know, often when you try to, all you get is name calling. Sorry.
Because that's all they have. Yeah, that's all they have. That's all they know what to say. They don't understand the issues. They're not able to communicate. They're just going to call you a name. And everybody's afraid of being called a racist. I mean, that is the dumbest, most idiotic thing that's ever come out. But that seems to be...
You know, it will get really interesting this year and here in Florida with the election for the State House. There's a kid who was an intern in the White House. And he runs on the ticket of HOA reform in Palm Beach County in an area which is, I think, all the district has are condos and homeowners associations, right?
Right.
And it will be interesting to see. I mean, he's trying really hard. He's only 21. But he is young, enthusiastic, and he is willing to change it. And he really looked into the facts, and he sees what's wrong because he lived with his parents in the homeowners association.
Yeah, young people don't
like know.
Them.
So we will see what will come out of that, because that is a district where I get lots and lots of complaints from people about the bad condos and the bad homeowners associations and so on. So let's see if these people are willing not to vote because there's an R or a D behind the name, if these people are voting for their own interest, meaning voting for somebody who is willing to attempt to do something for the owners living in these communities. you know, instead of looking for seatbelt laws.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, well, no, it's a fact. And you know, we will see, and it will show whether these people are serious about wanting changes, or is they're just talking because they're just in the moment in some kind of trouble with their association.
Yeah, and there's so much education that needs to go on. You're doing that, I'm doing that. But it's not enough, Jan. It's not enough.
Yeah, but you see, you know, just as an example, you know, my friend Eric Glaser, he's holding seminars, you know, and he has lots of seminars. I think last number I heard, he had in the meanwhile more than 15,000 participants in his seminars, you know, which is the so-called board certification seminar, which is required by law from board members here in Florida.
Right.
And his seminars are really good, and he says it like it is, not tainted in any way, prejudice, you know, because he's an attorney or something like that. You know, he really explains it. In his seminars, the people participating can ask questions, and he will answer them immediately. So it's very, very informative. I've been to many of these seminars. And it's always a little different, and you always learn something new because the questions are different, right?
Okay.
So the people know and learn, but do they really use it once they're back in the seat of a board member? Very often, I think not.
No, they probably don't.
No, you know, power corrupts, and more power corrupts even more. And that is the problem, because you have many people sitting in these board seats who never had any executive power in their lives. They don't have business experience. They don't have experience in running any kind of business or making decisions. Now they're suddenly board members, and now they suddenly can tell everybody and then some what to do and how to live. And people always seem to forget one thing. Their financial welfare, their personal financial welfare, depends on the decisions of the board. A bad board can ruin your personal financials real quick.
Yep. Yeah, they can.
Boy, you know, I have seen boards getting into lawsuits. In the end, they had to levy special assessments. People couldn't pay the special assessment. They lost their home over it.
Yeah. No.
Because the board decided to get involved in a stupid lawsuit.
And you know what? That's protecting your property values, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, come on. What do you think? And it's easy living.
Absolutely.
See, this is what I'm saying. In former times, you brought neighbors in need cookies and chicken soup, right? Now you serve your neighbors liens and foreclosure notices and lawsuits. And that's the difference between former times and HOA times.
You know, we call them communities, and I refuse to call them communities. I call them developments or whatever. But the fact is that the associations, I think, have absolutely killed any sense of community that we ever had. Because before, you were friends, you were neighbors, you were a community. What affected your neighbor affected you. You worked together. Now it's everybody's at everybody else's throat. And how dare you plant 6 rose bushes when I only have 3, and we've got to get rid of... I mean, it's just gotten to the petty and the idiotic. And it's just not working, Jan. It's not working.
No, and they always, you know, they say, oh, you know, we did it so people can share amenities they couldn't afford by themselves. You know, how good is the amenity if you lose your house over it?
Yeah, no. And I mean, there, and they say, well, people have said to me, well, I like to be able to walk to the pool. Okay, there's nothing to stop you from walking to the pool. But why don't you have Pools R Us own the pool and charge you membership? You shouldn't have to pay for something you don't want and you're not likely
right.
to use. Make it private, really private.
You know the hot issue here in Florida since many years, golf courses. You know, many
yeah.
years ago, every developer built a community with a golf course, you know, because everybody who came wanted to play golf, right?
Right.
Now the interest in golf quickly dwindles.
Yeah.
You know, they lose. The older folks who loved golf, you know, and who came here in the 80s and 90s, they're slowly dying away or are getting too old to play golf. The younger generation that moves in now is not interested in playing golf. So now you have a community with a golf course, right? Golf course has to be maintained and has to be paid for. Now there are a few people left in the community who play golf. But they can't afford to finance the maintenance and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do? They're getting on the board, or they're already sitting on the board, and suddenly they make golf club membership mandatory. Hello, everybody has to pay.
Yeah.
So now homeowners who didn't want to have anything to do with golf in the first place suddenly pay for the amusement of a few. And you wouldn't believe the lawsuits which are popping up all over the place. You know, remember, they charged some extra, you know, for the lot next to, you know, hole
yeah.
18. You know, the lot, for half-acre lot, was $10,000 more than the one which was not in one of the holes, right?
Yeah.
Now, these places, they close the golf clubs, because the golf courses, because they can't finance them anymore. They make losses every year. So they close them. Guess what? Now here comes a developer and builds condo on hole 18. And now the people who paid extra for the view of hole 18 have a condo in front of their nose. You know, sometimes I think it's ridiculous, but it's sad for the people.
In a way, it's kind of ironic. But 20 years ago when I first started doing the show, CAI told me that there is a lack of interest in the amenities. The amenities are not, people aren't going, but the developers still say, oh, well, it's going to protect your property values. It's going to make you so much better. Your property is going to be worth so much more if there's a golf course there, if there's a swimming pool. You know, whatever it is, it's going to be worth more. And, of course, and they know that people don't want it. They're not buying it, and they're falling apart already.
And the interest changes. You see, when the people retired in the 80s and 90s, you know, they all, you know, their big dream, they came from up north. You know, their big dream was, oh, you know, my retirement dream, I want to move to Florida, the nice warm weather, and, you know, having a golf course, and I want to play golf, right?
Right.
Everybody who comes now says, golf, what the heck is that? That's a four-letter word.
Yeah. Just find something that's not in an HOA and you'll be a lot
right.
happier.
You know, well, you know, you have associations here in Florida where people can't sell their homes. You know why?
Why?
Because they made, the association made rules. You know that as long as you own the home, you're exempt from mandatory golf club membership. But once you're selling it,
okay.
the new owner has to become a member of the golf club, right?
Is that legal?
And the initial membership is, let's say, $40,000, right? So you offer your home, you know, let's say for $300,000. Right? But in reality, your home costs $340,000. Plus the monthly membership fees in the golf club.
Jan, how can that...
Nobody wants to buy it because the people who come from up north now don't want to play golf. And they have no interest in playing golf. So they don't have buyers. So they want to, you know, move into, you know, assisted living facilities or whatever because they're getting really old. You know, they don't have anybody to take care of them. Or the spouse died and they're all alone. Now they want to sell, right? They can't.
They can't
because
sell.
There is no buyer.
But how can you sell
you
something
give,
that you don't own?
You can't give the place away.
How can you force someone to sell something that they don't own? If I own one and I'm not required to be a member of the golf thing, how can I sell my house and force a membership on someone else? Surely that's got to be illegal.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. People are gullible. We talked about that earlier. So here comes the association and says, oh, you know, we have really serious finance problems because of the golf club and blah, 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 you know. And so we want to make it mandatory. Oh, you know, if you make it mandatory, we sue, right? Okay. So here comes the association with a slick attorney and says, oh, look, we make you a deal. You know, we make the amendment and we don't force you to become a member now. You know, only when you sell, then the new owner has to become a member. Isn't that a fair deal to you? And people say, oh, yeah, that's just great. And they sign on the dotted line and they vote in favor of it. Only when they later on want to sell, they realize what they really signed. They signed their life savings away.
Jan, we still have a lot of work to do, but we're not going to get any more done today because we are out of time.
Well, time flies by.
When you're having,
having fun.
Thank you so much, Jan. Hope you'll come back soon. We've got more work to do here. Thank you, everyone,
okay,
for tuning in. Bye.
You take care. Bye, Sue. Bye.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.